and Pastor Dave, I'm sure, is hoping to be back next week. So those of you who are getting tired of me, suck it up for just one more week. One more week. But Pastor Dave and Carolyn, we're so happy that you guys are back. I personally missed you guys so much. Like, Natalie had to stop me. She was trying to stop me from coming over to your house on what was it, Friday? And I said, I don't know about you, but I miss those two. So you can stay here if you want. But I gotta go see my pastors. And so can you give it up for our pastor? Yeah. So for those of you that haven't been here, we've been in the book of Judges. I don't know about you, but I'm in Judges chapter 6. That's where I've been. So we're going to talk about Judges chapter 6 today. But so we see in the book of Judges, we've been talking about, one of the things we've been talking about is we've seen, you know, the people of Israel going through some struggles, and the struggles that they're going through are consequences of their own sin. We talked about Jesus being our Savior, and we talked about, you know, how we all have issues and problems that we need to be dealt with, and Jesus Christ is the one who deals with those issues and those problems. He deals with the sin in our lives. And so we talked about who it is we need in the midst of the problems, right? Amen. And then the week after that, we talked about how do we carry ourselves in those problems. Because we all know that, like I shared last week, we all know that we're in one of three places. We're either going into a situation, coming out of a situation, or currently in the middle of a situation. And so, or about to go into a situation, really. And so, you know, I believe that, as Pastor shared his story, we know that we're about to go into something, and you know, that's not the time. I hope that if you get anything from this today, is that it's not the time to cower. Amen. It's like he said, it's the time to cry out. Yes. There's a difference. Yes. It's not the time to focus on the what ifs or what about this and what about, no, we're going to focus on what is. And what is that God is in control. God is still good. God can still heal. God can still deliver. God can still set free. God is a God of miracles, and nothing is impossible for our God. Can I get an amen? And so we're going to focus on God and God alone. But we can't neglect the fact that we go through some stuff and lives, and stuff is difficult. And I mean, it's not just here. You look all over the world and you see all these troubles and storms. Florida's getting hit by Hurricane Irma, and now they're about to get hit by Hurricane Jose. They don't know what's coming. You know, Texas right now, they're in the midst of ministering to people who have lost everything. We look at rumors of wars are just all over the place, and you know, you look at the world is literally in chaos. That's the same place we see the Israelites in the book of Judges. Here's the thing. Everything, every problem, every evil thing in the world stems from one thing and one thing alone. Sin. Everything in the world, whether it's a struggling marriage, it's sin. Whether it's you know, sickness, it all stems from sin. It all stems from the very first thing that Adam and Eve did and brought sin into the world. Everything, all the evil, all the chaos, all the destruction, all the sicknesses, all the diseases, all the problems, it all stems from sin. And that's where we see in the book of Judges, we see a people who are struggling, who are held captive because they keep struggling with this thing called sin. They're in this cycle. And in Judges chapter 6, they're in that cycle again, where the people of Israel have sinned against God. They've done things because it pleased them to do it in their own sight. And so God, being God, they just handed them over to their sin. And so the Lord hands them over to the people called the Midianites. And the Midianites, they're like just plundering the Israelites' land. They're taking everything they own. They're destroying everything they have. They're destroying all of their crops. The Bible says that they're leaving Israel reduced to poverty. to needing, to lack. They're reducing Israel to really have nothing. And so because of this, Israel does what Israel only knows how to do after they've compromised and how they're stuck in their problems. The only thing they know how to do is cry out to God. And God, they cry out to God and they say, God, we need you. And God answers and he says, I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the God who performed all the signs and miracles and the wonders. I'm the God who brought you into this land and literally handed it over to you where you didn't even have to lift a finger. I gave it to you. I gave you the victory. The problem is you won't listen to me. That's the problem with the entire world, is that people will not listen to God. So God always has to raise up a leader. He always calls a leader to rise up. And that's where we are in the book of Judges. The people of Israel cry out to God. God responds to them. And then he calls a leader. Now let me tell you something. I want you to hear this word, because I believe that grace is called the lead. I believe that in a world of chaos, a world of destruction, a world of absolute just immorality and problems and sicknesses and diseases, I believe that grace is called to lead. I believe that this morning, whether you see it or not, I'm looking at a bunch of leaders. That God is calling out of a people to go out and save a generation. I believe that with all my heart. And so I want to talk this morning from the topic, called to be a leader. Called to be a leader. Look at your neighbor and say, called to be a leader. Let them know, you're called to be a leader. You're called to be a leader. But there's some things that we learn from Judges chapter 6. We're talking the leader in this time, his name is Gideon. There's some things that we can learn from the story of Gideon that I believe apply to the type of leadership that we're called to, and things that we need to know if we're going to lead. I want to go to Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And it says this. I got a lot to say, so I'm going to just speed right through it. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah. Not Oprah. Ophrah. Which belonged to Joash of the clan of Ebiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. Stop right there. It says, then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, the son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain of the Midianites. And then the next verse says this, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength. No, I'm sorry. Where is it? Yeah. You mighty hero. Here we go. All right, I'm back on track. You mighty hero. The Lord is with you, mighty hero. God runs up on this. He's out underneath this tree looking at this man, looking for this man whose name is Gideon. And Gideon is in the wine press threshing wheat. Now, the only thing you need to know is the wine press is not the place for threshing wheat. The Bible says that he did so because he wanted to do it hiding from the Midianites. He did not want to get caught by the Midianites, because what the Midianites did, if they discovered you had anything, obviously they came to destroy it because they didn't want you to have anything. That's what they were doing to the people of Israel. So Gideon, in a time of trouble, in a time of chaos, in a time of great distress, is in a place of hiding, threshing wheat. I want to tell you that if you're called to be a leader, you need to know one thing. There's a time to hide, and there's a time to stand out. There's a time to hide, and there's a time to stand out. And when you're called to lead, God is calling you out of hiding. See, it's easy when things get stressful. It's easy when things are overwhelming. It's easy when things are chaotic
It's easy when things are not going our way. It's easy when we're going through problems. And it's just easy to hide in those times. What's difficult to do in those times is to stand out because of fear. Because you're afraid of being persecuted. You're afraid of being ridiculed. You're afraid of the people coming in and overtaking you. I believe that God has called a grace out of a place of hiding. See, because it's easy for Christians to come into these four walls when things are going crazy and hide. When we're called to go out. Yeah. Gideon was in a place of hiding while being in a time of great distress. And so God shows up in the form of his angel and he calls Gideon and he says, Gideon, mighty man of valor, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Amen. He's calling him out. Amen. He's calling you out. I believe God is calling you out this morning. Take a look around you. People are hurting, people are broken, people are in distress, and it all has to do with one thing, it's sin, and God is calling you out of your place of hiding, out of the place where you're focused on yourself, out of the place where you're focused on your issues, out of the place where you're taking care of yourself and your own comfort. He's calling you out. There's a time to hide, and there's a time to stand out. When you're called to lead, you're called to stand out.
Right.
Yeah.
Problems and sicknesses and diseases are not the time for you to go into your hiding place.
Right.
It's time for you to come out. Stand up. Don't try to blend in. Don't try to disappear in the shadows. It's time to rise up. God looks at Gideon and he says, Gideon, you mighty man of valor, you mighty hero. God is with you. And Gideon looks at God and he's like, who, me? You talking to me? You ain't talking, I'm here hiding. He says, Gideon, you mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. And it's easy. See, this is what Gideon does. Gideon, when he hears this, he says, you talking to me? The Lord is with us? Are you serious? Where was the Lord? Where is the God who many told us freed us from Egypt? Where is the God who did all these miracles? Where is the God who brought us into the land? Where is the God? It's easy. It's so easy when things are hard and things are difficult to go, where is the God?
Yeah.
And then he goes even further and he says, we're here because the Lord has abandoned us. If you're going to be a leader, if you're called to be a leader, listen to me. You got to drop the blame game. There is no time for the blame game. There's no time to point the fingers and say, we're here because of this, or we're here because of that, or we're here because of this person, or we're struggling because this person's not doing their job. You know who gets blamed? It's easy for us in times of trouble to blame everyone else, but the person who typically gets the most blame is God. Like, if I'm going through this, then why hasn't God done anything for me? If I'm going through this, then why has God not raised up? I'm going through this because God has left me, and he's never helped us. He's not going to help us now. It's all God's fault. Oh, Gideon, where were you when we held the press conference to let you know that the reason why you're in your struggles is because your people did not follow God? Did you miss that part, Gideon? It's so easy for us to point the finger at God and not look at ourselves. I'm not saying that everything you go through in life is because of your own sin, but there are things that we go through in life because of other sins. We can't point the finger of God at God. We got to understand that we're living in a world that is broken, that is in destruction, that is sick with sin and immorality. We're living in a world that is not very good. And so we're going to go through some bad stuff, but don't go pointing the finger at God. Stop playing the blame game. Stop blaming others and stop blaming God. It's the worst thing we could do. Look, I'll tell you this. I'll put it to you this way. If I was in a car driving down Landis and Delphi at 90 miles an hour and I run a red light, get hit by a car, and I die, do you blame me as the one who broke the law, or do you blame the one who made the law? Me. Obviously, the law was made for a reason. The law says if you run a red light, you can put your life in danger. So please, there are laws established to say don't run a red light because there's consequences. Number one, you can get a ticket. Number two, you can get a bunch of fines. Number three, you can lose your life. So do you blame the lawbreaker or the lawmaker? Laws are set in place to protect you.
Amen.
Laws are set in place to actually bless you.
Yeah.
Laws are set in place to take care of you.
Yep.
It is not the lawmaker's fault. It's not the fault of the one who created the law. It's the fault of the one who breaks the law. So stop playing the blame game. Let's stop blaming God for situations in our life and start looking at ourselves and saying, okay, you're calling me to be the change I want to see. You're going to be a leader. You got to stop pointing the fingers. There's no time to play the blame game. You know what I love about the story, though? Is how merciful God is.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. When somebody blames me for something that is not my fault, I will fight you to the death defending myself. Like, it happens to me all the time. You know, car keys go missing, and it's your fault. You had them last. No, I didn't touch those keys. It was your fault. I don't care if you found them in my pant pockets. It's your fault. You put them there. I will defend myself to the death because I'm stubborn. I'm arrogant and prideful. But God says, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you because I know the truth. My ways are so high above your ways, you cannot begin to comprehend what you're saying. So I'm going to be merciful to you. And God just looks at him. He ignores the fact that Gideon's like, where is the Lord? He just totally ignores that. He doesn't even touch that. He says, go then in the strength that you have. Go then in the strength that you have because I have sent you. And aren't you glad that you serve a God that is so merciful, that is so kind, that is so loving, that despite the fact that you're the screw-up, I'm still calling you, and I'm still sending you, and you're pointing at me, and you're blaming me, and you're saying all these things. I'm so glad I serve a God that is so merciful.
Amen.
We need to stop playing the blame game. You know, in this past week or 2 weeks, whatever, however long Hurricane Harvey's been going, I've seen so much on social media. And they're saying, you know, people saying, well, I just look at everything that's going around you. It's time to wake up, people. We need God. I've heard people say, I'm just praying people would just wake up and see their need. It's true. I want people to wake up. But we need to stop passing the buck. Because here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that the church would wake up.
Amen.
I'm praying that leaders would rise up.
Amen.
I'm praying that people would come out of their place of hiding. And you know, we say, well, they just need to believe in God. And not, no, listen, the Bible says in the book of Romans, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him?
Right.
And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?
Amen.
It's not people's responsibility to wake themselves up. It's our responsibility to go out and be the good news, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be the mouthpieces of Jesus, and to go and bring people to God.
Amen.
I'm praying that people would wake up and believe. I'm praying that churches and church people,
yeah,
leaders, would rise up and begin to speak the name of Jesus and tell people that Jesus loves them and he's here to be a hope in the midst of darkness and he's here to be a light. Oh, Lord, he's here to be your light in your greatest darkness. And light always defeats it. And listen, it's time to come out of hiding. Stop passing the buck. Stop playing the blame game and rise up as leaders to go out and save people. The church is not for us. I'm going to say that again. The church is not for us. The church was to carry out the Great Commission, which was for others.
Amen.
Wasn't meant for it to be a storehouse of house of people who are constantly pointing fingers, constantly bickering, trying to save their own treasures. That's not what the church is about. Our mission is to make disciples, not wait for disciples. Leaders don't pass the buck. They take the responsibility. Remember as a manager when I was working for Walgreens, it's one of the things I struggle with the most. How are you going to blame me? You're the manager. It all falls on you. But it's true. It's true. As leaders, we need to take the responsibility, and people don't need to wake up. The church does. Because if the church will, they will go out and speak to people who are sleeping.
Amen.
Problem is, we're too busy playing the blame game. Gideon pointed the finger at God. God looks at him and he says, "Go with the strength that you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. I am sending you. I am sending you." And he says, "Go with the strength that you have." So many times we focus on what we don't have.
Yeah. Wow.
Listen, there's no times for excuses. When you're called to lead, there are no times for excuses. "Well, I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm too short. I'm too fat. I'm too ugly. I'm too stupid. My parents are this. My family is that." There's no time for that. Listen to me. You may not have it all together, but you have what it takes. God is not looking for people who have it all together. God is not looking for people who are perfect. God is not looking for people who think they're the smartest. God is looking for people who are ready, willing, and able when he calls.
Amen.
You may not have it all together, but you have what it takes.
Amen.
Moses said this very thing. Moses said, "But God, I'm a man who can't speak too well. I have a stuttering issue, and how can they believe in me?" And listen, everybody, most people who God has called most of them have had excuses. Isaiah said, "I'm a man of unclean lips. How can I go?" Jeremiah, "I'm too young, God." There's no time for excuses. I'm sending you. Go with what you have. Go with the strength you have.
Yes.
Go with the wisdom you have.
Yes.
Go with the compassion you have.
Yes.
You may not have all that you need, but you have me, and that's all that matters.
Yes.
God says, "Go with the strength that you have, because I'm sending you, and I will be with you." Because Gideon says, "But Lord, my clan is the smallest clan. My clan is the tiniest of clans, and I'm the tiniest of them." And God says, "I will go with you." There's no time for excuses. There's no time to focus on what you're lacking. There's no time. Listen, don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have.
Yeah.
Every single one of us has something to offer. A world that is broken, that is hurting, that is in distress, that is full of sin, that is corrupt, that is being destroyed day by day because people are too busy making excuses about what they don't have or what they are not. Listen, I don't care what you think you are or what people said you are. What matters is what God has called you to be. God has called us to be leaders. Take a look around you. We're not the biggest church in Violet. We definitely don't have it all together. But God has placed us here for a reason.
Amen.
God has placed us here for a reason.
Yes.
God is calling us out of these four walls. God is calling you out of the four walls of your living room. One of the things I can't stand is people pointing the fingers at others and talking about what others have and what others should do. Look at yourself. What do you have? Whatever it is you have, God can use it. There's no time for excuses. No time for excuses. God calls you just as you are, not as you shall be. The last thing you gotta be ready to do is you gotta be ready to fight. You gotta be ready to fight. God called Gideon. He called them to save the Israelites from the Midianites. You know what that was going to have to take? It was going to have to take Gideon to fight. The guy who's hiding, a guy who could see himself as low and weak, you got to be ready to fight. You got to be ready to fight the fear. Because life can get scary. See, there's a misconception that if you are a Christian and you're afraid, you're not Christian enough. That's a lie. That is a lie. It's okay to be afraid. We could see this all throughout the story of Judges. We could see this all throughout the story of Gideon. So many times, Gideon would ask God to prove himself because he was afraid. And actually, there's times in the Bible where God asked him to do something, and Gideon would purposely do it in the dark so nobody would see him because he was afraid. The problem is not that you're facing fear. The problem is if you're allowing fear to cripple you and to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. Don't let fear cripple you. Don't let fear stop you. You got to be ready to fight past the fear. Gideon looks at God and he says, I'm the least of my tribe. And God says, don't worry, I'll be with you. And then so Gideon says, okay, well, if you're truly with me, do me a favor. Show me a sign. Wait here. When I come back, I'll bring you something. I have a gift for you. He goes back. He brings a gift. God sets it on fire with his staff. And Gideon's like, oh, my God. I'm doomed. For I have seen the face of the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord says this. He looks at Gideon and he says, Gideon, be still. Calm down. Chill out. It's okay. Gideon builds an altar for God in that place, and he calls it Jehovah Shalom.
Yes.
For the Lord is peace.
Yes.
Listen to me. For every ounce of fear and anxiety that you will feel, God has a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. For every ounce of fear and anxiety that you will ever come across, God has a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
So chill out, be still, know that he's God, and know that he's a God of peace.
Yes. Yes.
God looks at Gideon and he says, Gideon, now that you realize who you're talking to, I want you to go into your father's house. I want you to get the bull. I want you to bring him into sacrifice. I want you to take down the altars in your father's house that he has for Baal and for Asherah. Those were gods of the Midianites. they're worshiping, and he's saying, I want you to take those altars down. Not only do I want you to take those altars down, I want you to rip them to pieces and use those pieces to sacrifice the bull that you're bringing to me. So Gideon then goes in the middle of the night because he's afraid of people. He takes 10 guys with him. He breaks down the altars. He does the sacrifice. The morning comes. People wake up and they're all in distress after crying out to God. And they're ticked off at Gideon for destroying the altars of their idols. Now, Gideon only took 10 people with him and did it in a way where nobody would catch him. Somehow, these people find out that Gideon is the one who destroyed the altars. The Bible says that they asked around and finally it came out that Gideon did it. That means that somebody on Gideon's team blew the whistle. If that were me, I would look at that dude and say, listen, snitches get stitches. Shut your mouth. But somebody blew the whistle on Gideon. So now the whole town, the whole clan, everybody there wants to kill Gideon. They're calling him names. His father rises up and says, listen, Gideon did it, yes, but let Baal defend himself. If Baal is God, let him defend himself. Give Baal a chance. We'll see. All this time, Baal has done nothing for us. All these idols, all these treasures, all these things have done nothing for us. So leave Gideon alone. But let me tell you something. Gideon had to learn to fight against the pain and the hurt. There is nothing more hurtful than those who are closest to you turning their backs on you and throwing you under the bus. And guess what? If you're going to be a leader, you got to learn to fight through the pain and fight through the hurt and fight even when you're alone. You got to learn to fight. You got to learn to fight when things are overwhelming and when you're going through difficulties. Gideon goes on from there. And God calls him. Says, gather up all your men and gather up all your people. Get yourself an army ready because you're going to go fight the Midianites. Gideon gathers up 22,000 men. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says in chapter 7 that the Midianites were like a swarm of locusts and that their camels were as the, you could count them as the sand on the seashore. So you can just imagine the kind of army that the Midianites had. Gideon gathers together 22,000 people, and God looks at Gideon and he says, Gideon, that's way too much. And he specifically says, if I let you take all these men, Israel will take credit for what I'm about to do. Because that's what Israel does. They're stupid. So I can't have you taking all these men with you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take all the people who are afraid. Take all those guys who have some fear. I want you to separate them and get them to go. Let them go. Gideon says, okay, if there's anyone who has an ounce of fear in you, you can go. It's okay. We won't kill you. Just go. We don't have time to waste with you. If you're not all in, get out. That leaves Gideon with 10,000 people. Then God says to him, no. It's still too much. I can imagine Gideon's like, what are you talking about? Are you serious? But God's like, yes. He says, I want you to do this. I want you to take them to the river. I want you to separate them. The people who cup the water and drink them, drink the water, I want you to separate them to one side. And the people who get on their knees and lick the water like if they're dogs, I want you to separate them to the other side. So Gideon says that. He does that. He separates them. He has 300 left. He sends those people home. Now, can you imagine how overwhelmed Gideon might have felt to have the original 300 Spartans with him? This is the original Sparta moment right here. 300 people against an army that can be counted as the sand on a seashore. Can you imagine how scared he might have felt? We point the finger at Gideon and say he was weak, he was scared to do everything God told. Listen, I'd be scared too. Can you imagine how those guys must have felt like they were so far over their heads? But you got to fight through the difficult times. We just sang a song that said, if this life holds nothing but my Savior. How many actually believe that statement?
Amen.
That even if everything, even if it's just me and Jesus, I'm going to be okay.
Amen.
You got to learn to fight through the difficulties. You got to learn to fight through the overwhelming circumstances. Because let me tell you something. Even when you feel like you're in over your head, you have to remember that everything, the enemy and all of his works, are underneath his feet. And he is still in control. And he is still reigning. And he is still God. And he's still making decisions. And let me tell you something. God is the one who is giving the victory.
Yes.
I'm sure Gideon felt overwhelmed. That's why God says to him. He says, listen, these 300 men are the men that I will use to give you the victory over the Midianites and to save you. He didn't say these are the 300 men that will save you. He didn't say these are the 300 men that will deliver Israel. He said, no, these are the 300 men I'm going to use for the victory that I'm giving you, me.
Yeah.
You got to fight through the difficulty because you know that no matter what, he's already won the battle.
Amen.
He's already defeated the enemy.
Yeah.
The earth is his footstool.
Yeah.
Everything in it belongs to him, is run by him, operates through him, and there is nothing, nothing, nothing that can overwhelm him. So don't be afraid. Fight through the fear. Fight through the difficult times. Fight when the hope seems like it's not there, because when you feel like you're in over your head, the enemy and everything else is under his feet. He looks at Gideon and he says, listen, if you're still afraid, I want you to go down to their camp and just listen. Just listen. And this is what they say. Chapter 7. Chapter 7, it says this. Gideon crept up just, in verse 13 it says, Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. His companion answered him, your dream can only mean one thing, that God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all its allies. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes. I want to tell you today, get up, because the Lord has given victory over every situation, over every circumstance, over every problem, over every sickness, over every disease, over every situation in your life. Get up and fight, because God has given you the victory. I don't care what your marriage looks like. I don't care what your family looks like. I don't care if you have disobedient children. I don't care if your finances are lacking. I don't care what it is you're facing. The Lord has given you the victory. So stand up and fight. Stand up, pick up your sword, pick up your voice, lift up your cry, worship Jesus, because He has given you the victory. Grace is called to lead. You are called to lead. It's time to come out of our hiding. Take a look around you. There's empty chairs everywhere. There's people that need to hear the hope of Jesus. No time. It's not time to wait for disciples. It's time to go make them. It's time to get people to know Jesus, not wait for them to know Jesus. It's time to stop passing the buck. It's time to stop playing the blame game. And know that man is the issue, not God. Know that we are the issue, not God. It's time to realize that we don't have to have it all together. We just need to have what it takes. God can use whatever we have. We don't have to have the greatest lights. We don't have to have the best projection system. We don't have to have the greatest worship team. We don't have to sing these certain songs and not those songs. No, no, no. We have to have what we have. We're going to go with what we got. We're going to give it our all. God has already given us the victory. God has already given us vine leaf. God, that was weak. God has already given us the vine leaf. God has already given us the city. We just gotta get out of these comfortable chairs, get out of ourselves, get out of our own situation, and go out and fight. No more excuses. Fight through the fear. Fight through the hopelessness. Fight through the discouragement. Fight through the difficult times. When you feel overwhelmed, it's okay. God is with you.